We go to TV3's Jordi Sunyer. Everything La Liga, everything Barcelona, everything Real Madrid. Jordi, thank you so much, as always, for coming on. Always great to see you, hear you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, again, for having me on. Such a great pleasure, as always.
All right, so we got a couple of things to run down here in about 15 minutes. I'm going to start right with Kylian Mbappe. Is this the biggest tease in the history of soccer? Everybody thought he was going to Real Madrid. He's going to stay at PSG. He says, it wasn't the right time for me to leave France. It sure sounded like it was the right time for the last year, all the things he was dropping. Real Madrid fans and executives must really be feeling like a forlorn lover.
Yeah, but I think this this failed signing of Kylian Mbappe for Real Madrid, his extension with Paris Saint-Germain, has finally been a matter of state or a matter of country, because you could hear this Monday afternoon Nasser El Khelaifi, the PSG president, repeating a particular sentence saying, this was very important for the French league and for the country to keep Kylian Mbappe playing in France, one of the best players, maybe the best player in the world right now. He's French, he was born in Paris, he has to play for Paris Saint-Germain. It's very important for the French league to have the best player in the world in order to get the French league among the best leagues in the world. So I think there has been such a huge pressure on Kylian Mbappe. Of course, they've tried to sell that it's not a money thing, it's a sporting thing. Nasser Al Khelaifi was saying, Kylian has stayed because of our sporting project. We want to win, we want to keep winning French championships, but we will still be chasing the Champions League in the next years to come. And no other club offers the sporting conditions that Paris Saint-Germain can offer. Of course, there are clubs like Real Madrid, of course, that could pay more money to Kylian Mbappe, but they are trying to convince people that this is only a sporting matter. I'm not that sure. You know, in Spain, Florentino Pérez, the Real Madrid president, is known as a very powerful entrepreneur with very strong links to high-level, high-ranked politicians, men of state. He's such a powerful businessman. So until today, it seemed that everything that Florentino Pérez wanted to do, he really did it. And that's maybe the first time that someone slams the door on his face. And that has been surprising, of course, but because it seemed from a Spanish point of view that everything was arranged for Kylian Mbappe to go to Real Madrid. But I think there has been huge pressure from not only Paris Saint-Germain, but I think even the French Football League, the French sporting authorities, even French politicians, in order to keep Mbappe playing in France. So you get something extraordinary, how a transfer of a football player from one club to another can become a matter of state. That's, I think it's something extraordinary.
Yeah, it defines the league. I mean, listen, you've lived that with Cristiano Ronaldo moving from Real Madrid.
You've lived that
with Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona. So, you know, what was the fallout from those two guys leaving? Because those two guys really defined the league globally.
Yeah, that's the case. But, you know, you may think that the French league has not the power to offer a good sporting project, a good financial project also to Kylian Mbappe. Right now, the French league is the fifth league in Europe after the Premier League, which is the first one, of course, the Spanish, the German, and the Italian championships. Paris Saint-Germain win, not easily, but have the means to win the Ligue 1 title, the Ligue 1 title each year with these. So you don't really get that competition in French football for a club that also wants to rule in Europe, like Paris Saint-Germain. That's a very important challenge. There's another side to this story, that maybe another thing that can convince or might have convinced Kylian Mbappe is, of course, you can win. You have more possibilities of winning the UEFA Champions League with Real Madrid. But what about winning the first Champions League for your club, for your home city club, being a hero for being a local guy born in Paris that wins the first ever Champions League for Paris Saint-Germain? If you look at it from a, let's say, a sentimental point of view, that can also be important for Kylian Mbappe. Of course, everyone is convinced, finally, it's a money thing. But I think they have also been able, Paris Saint-Germain and whoever has been involved in this situation, have been able to convince Kylian Mbappe also in sentimental terms. And, of course, Mbappe is young, he's staying in Paris Saint-Germain until 2025. After then, Glenn, we'll see. Because today, this Monday afternoon, Kylian Mbappe hasn't closed the door to Real Madrid. I think that maybe, I wouldn't say 3 years ago, three years from now, maybe 2 years from now in 2024, we have again another Netflix series about a potential Mbappe transfer to another club and probably Real Madrid.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. I like the way you positioned this because he can be the conqueror of France, but if he goes to Real Madrid and wins the Champions League, many have done that prior to him. So it is a great way that you positioned that. And that's probably been the big selling point to him as well, because I'm sure the money's all there. All right, let's talk about Real Madrid, Liverpool this Saturday, Champions League final. What's the sentiment in Madrid?
I think everyone or the majority of fans and, of course, the press see Real Madrid as clear favorites for the final. It's normal. They have won the league. They have won the Spanish championships. 13 points ahead of Barcelona has been quite easy for them. But this time, of course, there's the sense of euphoria. But they have their motivations to think they are clear favorites to win their 14th UEFA Champions League title. Because in this edition of the UEFA Champions League, they have really shown how to play these kind of games. They are capable of everything. That's one of the trademarks of Real Madrid. Being able to play and to know how to do in certain situations in this kind of competitions, in which a small error, a particular situation can get you in or out of the competition. They did that against Paris Saint-Germain. They did that, of course, especially against Manchester City in semifinals. That comeback was surreal. And, of course, that makes them think they are clear favorites against Liverpool. In addition, of course, Liverpool need a boost of energy after losing the Premier League title yesterday or last Sunday to Manchester City. But they have had a streak of injuries. The last one, Thiago Alcantara, which is such an important player for Jurgen Klopp in midfield. So in injury terms, I think also Real Madrid has a slight advantage over Liverpool because of this streak of injuries they've had. Among Barcelona supporters, there's this feeling that apart from being able to know how to play in particular situations, Real Madrid have always that strike of luck in the moments when they need that piece of luck, that lucky situation. And that's again the case. They are playing the Champions League final against a fantastic team such as Liverpool, and Liverpool are beginning to lose players for the final because of injury. So everything combined, Real Madrid winning the league title, spectacular performance in the Champions League, comebacks, injuries by Liverpool, everything combined, that's what makes Real Madrid, in the eyes of the supporters and the media, clear favorites for Saturday's final.
Talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain. Great guest of Soccer Matters, always on our ESPN networks. Let me just take you into what is a pretty interesting year for Barcelona, for Xavi. How's Barcelona sort of talking about the year that they've had. Obviously, it's progress, but how do you see it being in Barcelona?
It's not been a good season, that's for sure. And Xavi Hernandez recognizes it's a season to forget even. But the thing is, Barcelona have laid the foundations for the future.
So there is some progress, though, right?
Yeah. That's the most important thing for this season. Because as Xavi was saying in press conference these last days, the most important thing is that Barcelona, let's say, has saved the season. It could have been a lot worse than it has finally been. They've been second in the league. They got their qualification for the next UEFA Champions League. They will be playing the Spanish Super Cup. Of course, they were out of the Champions League, out of the Europa League against Eintracht Frankfurt, which then became champions, of course. But it's not a team, I think, at the same level as Barcelona. They got out of the Copa del Rey. It has not been a good season, of course. But in terms of physical preparation, in terms of their idea of play, in terms of going back to what made Barcelona great, they have laid the foundations for the future.
What about the roster? What about the roster? The rebuild seems to be good.
That's the thing, and that's the most important things that we have to watch to this coming weeks, because it's the most important thing to do right now. As I said, you have the foundations, then you have to build or rebuild the house. Xavi knows which players have to stay or wants him to stay, and knows what players need to leave Barcelona. There's a difficult financial situation. Again, you probably need to sell players, which for Xavi could be important, like Frenkie de Jong, because of course they will give money for the club to try to sign new players. It will not be easy, but the thing is, Barcelona will try to sign players that help rebuild the squad, that help rejuvenate the squad, that help strengthen the squad. The idea is having two players for each position. It's very important for Xavi that you have two players that can establish a competition for each position. For example, Jordi Alba. You don't have a competitor for Jordi Alba in his position. Jordi Alba is always playing. So this is not good for the team, because competition is always good for players. And there are some very, very important and interesting challenges for Barcelona for this summer transfer window. They will have to overcome financial difficulties. Let's see how they do. It will not be easy, but the will, the desire to build a younger squad, a better squad, and to keep working on this idea, on this style of play, it's the way for the future. And I would say this, that Xavi is optimistic about that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Jordi Suñé, TV3 here. Let's go to Atletico Madrid. Obviously, a big send-off for Luis Suarez, Hector Herrera. I want to take you to Hector Herrera first, because he is coming to Major League Soccer, playing here in the States. He will come to the Houston Dynamo. What will Hector bring to MLS? What will Hector bring to the Houston Dynamo, in your opinion?
I think it's a very good signing for Houston Dynamo and for the MLS, because sometimes even here in Europe, you still see the MLS, although the progress of the competition has been astonishing in last seasons, but European fans still see the MLS as a league for players that don't have the level for playing at the top level in Europe. And that's not the case, I think, for Hector Herrera. Hector Herrera is a player that can give still, in my opinion, 2 or 3 years of good football, a player with a sensational work rate in midfield. Of course, he has not been a star in the Spanish league, but he's a player with lots of experience, not only in European leagues, in Portugal with Porto, in Spain with Atletico Madrid, top teams in the Portuguese and in the Spanish league. He has played dozens of Champions League games, and that's lots of experience to enhance the quality of Houston Dynamo and enhance also the quality of the MLS. And of course, it's I think it's an impact signing for Houston Dynamos. Also, marketing wise or image wise, he's a Mexican. I suppose there are many cross-border fans in Houston. So having a Mexican player, which is a top-level player still, maybe not a star in Spanish football, but such a good player, playing for the Dynamos, playing for the MLS, I think that's really a very clever signing for the Dynamos. And I really hope he reaches a good level and provides good performances for the team. Really, I'm sure he can do that.
Jordi Sunye, TV3, joining us here. How hard did Diego Simeone try to keep him?
Not that much. Because, as I was saying, he was, I wouldn't say an important player for Simeone, but he was kind of a joker. A player on who you could rely on in case of need. He was not a starting 11 player normally at Hector Herrera, but he has played more games in the second half of the season. He gave depth to the roster. He was not one of the most important players in the team, but he always delivered when he was playing. If Simeone could have kept him, it had been okay for him. If not, I suppose Hector was also eager to come to the MLS to start this new experience. Okay, no worries at all. He was running out of contract. It's not a disaster for Atletico Madrid losing Hector Herrera. But anyway, he was a good player for Simeone anyway.
Yeah, and he wants to be getting first team football ahead of the World Cup for Mexico.
We're talking. I also suppose so. Yeah.
TV3 here joining us. Now, what about his relationship with the fans and the way he carried himself? You know, from your perspective, because that's always important. Because a good friend of mine, Efraín Flores, gave him his debut at Pachuca in Mexico, and we hear a lot of great stuff about Herrera, his coachability, his leadership, his experience, his ability to mesh with teammates, all of these good things.
He'll have to adapt again, I think, to another fan culture. He's coming from Atletico Madrid, which has one of the, I would say, hottest fan bases in Spanish football. You see Simeone, how in every game he tries to bring passion to the crowd, to enlighten the crowd with all those gestures, trying to put pressure on the crowd in order to the crowd putting pressure on the players. So that's a fantastic environment, and that's a fantastic ambience for playing for players, of course, like Hector. That will be different, of course, in other terms, and as you were saying, coachability, work rate, as I was saying before, he's a phenomenal worker. His work rate is extraordinary. No problems about that. But yeah, the environment will be different, and he will, I think he will need to readapt a little bit. He's also coming before Atletico Madrid. He was playing for Porto. It's not such a hot fan base, of course, but yeah, it's different. But he starts from a good position, because in sporting terms, I really think he will adapt quickly, and all the other aspects can be sorted on during the first month. So yeah, I don't think you will have to wait for long for watching the real Hector Herrera playing for Houston Dynamos. Really.
Jordi, as always, thank you so much for coming on. Jordi Sunye, TV3. I hope everything is great in Barcelona, and you always
have
great insight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for having me on. See you soon. Bye-bye.